I'm very happy now to welcome to the program Eleanor Bravo. She's the New Mexico State Organizer for Food and Water Watch, and today that group is releasing a report called Private Profits, Public Threats, and we're going to talk about that today. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
So this basically is about what's going on in New Mexico and the, if I may say so, conflict between so-called business interests and the people.
Exactly. And we are really focused on the impact that has happened since Governor Martinez has taken office, the past 8 months. And we are releasing a independently produced report called Private Profits, Public Threats that outline these environmental impacts.
There's a lot, and maybe too much, to go over every single thing in the time that we have, but water and food, which are basically how we stay alive,
yes,
are two major issues that you take on. Let's start with water. What are the threats to clean water in New Mexico, and what's going on legislatively and on the executive side in New Mexico right now?
Well, Food and Water Watch is a consumer organization, and we're devoted to making sure that everyone in New Mexico has access to clean water and safe food. Now, since Governor Martinez took office, she has targeted a number of these regulations that were in place prior to her administration. One in particular is called the Dairy Waste Rule. You may know that the state of New Mexico is the fourth largest producer of dairy products, milk and cheese, in the country. This is big business here.
The
big
fourth business. Largest producer of dairy in the country. Okay.
Now, that wasn't so about 10 to 20 years ago, but there was a migration, and New Mexico was part of it.
Now, wait a minute. This migration, it's coming back to me. We did a show a while back about how when dairy rules and pollution rules in particular were tightened up in other states, some of the producers who were operating in a less than ethical way or a less than environmentally sound way, shall we say, actually moved to New Mexico and started operating in their environmentally unsound ways here.
That's true. And we do have a lot of local dairy producers, but the processors of milk and the marketers are all corporate owned and not locally owned. They're corporations from outside the state. And so it's the southern part of the state mostly where we're not talking about cows grazing in beautiful green pastures. We're talking about 10,000 cows crammed into little tiny feedlots. They are loaded with antibiotics and they're causing huge pollution to the groundwater. These big corporations are using what's called lagoons, manure lagoons.
Manure lagoons, that sounds appetizing.
It's a lovely image. These regulations would have forced these corporations to monitor the groundwater close to these big factory farms. Well, the first day of Governor Martinez's administration, she said, well, look, let's take a look at this. Do we really need it? Well, what has happened is that these lagoons, which would have required liners and monitoring of the groundwater, are just seeping into the groundwater. And we get most of our drinking water from groundwater.
So you have, okay, let's just take a look at this kind of visually in our minds. You have these dairy farms, so to speak, with cows living very, very close together, producing huge amounts of waste,
right?
Urine and feces. This waste goes into these lagoons, so
right,
to speak, these ponds, and they're so concentrated,
right,
and they contain antibiotics and all kinds of things,
right,
and then that goes into the groundwater.
Right. They are nitrogen rich. So it alters the groundwater and alters the environment. And there's already been many reports of illness in these areas.
Now, the dairy rules that were adopted under the Richardson administration were never put into practice, is that correct?
That's right. They had to be published, and that is something that she failed to do. She decided not to publish it. They ultimately were brought under litigation by environmental organizations. So she finally had to publish it, but there was a big compromise.
Well, it was the same thing with the climate change regulations, with
yes,
the carbon cap regulations.
Exactly.
So the rules were published, but there was a compromise?
Yes. So they would have required all of these factory farms to put liners in these lagoons. Now it's only the ones who have had seepage and only new ones. So they're not, the groundwater's not being monitored, so we don't know which ones are having seepage.
Right.
It's a difficult situation, and people are suffering from this.
What is the next step? I mean, Food and Water Watch is bringing this to the attention of the people, but what can New Mexicans do? What can the legislature do? What's next?
What we want is we want Governor Martinez to pay attention to the needs of all New Mexicans. Listen to the people of New Mexico, and not only to the people who contributed to her campaign. She has given egregious preference to big business, and the details of all of these things are in the report, and they're all documented. She established what she called a small business-friendly task force. Well, it wasn't friendly, and it was hardly small business. There were lobbyists on that task force who were for BP, for Shell Oil, Chesapeake Energy.
What did the small business task force do?
They were recommending that almost 50 of these environmental controls be, quote-unquote, reviewed and possibly rescinded. And they have only begun. So this is such a time-critical issue. We have an opportunity now to keep our groundwater safe. If we don't pay attention to this now and really, really do something about it, we may be damaging our groundwater for generations to come, because you can't clean it up.
No, you can't clean up groundwater once the toxins are in it because of the geology of,
exactly,
of the basically underground flow of the water. Now, one of the things that I think is really important to have a public conversation about is the amount of money that is saved when you don't line a manure lagoon, and the amount of money it costs to treat childhood leukemia.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Right. And the people in these areas are lower income and predominantly Hispanic. They're afraid to speak out because they're fearful for their jobs. And these big corporations can certainly earmark part of their resources to taking care of the water that they use. This is not going to put them out of business, in other words.
Right, right. Now, this is also related to the pit rule, which is actually remarkably similar to the dairy rule. I mean, basically what they're saying is when you have extractive industries like oil and gas, and they do their extraction, and there are pits of toxic waste, they have to line the pits.
It is very similar, and that's another one of those regulations that is targeted by this administration, that we don't really need to have these safeguards. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. The dairy rule and the pit rule are the ones that are in the public eye right now, but there are almost 50 of these regulations that may be on the chopping block. And frankly, it's scary.
We're talking to Eleanor Bravo, New Mexico organizer for Food and Water Watch. Now, another thing that's in your, another little chapter that's in your report, and by the way, the name of the report is Private Profits, Public Threats, put out by Food and Water Watch, is just coming out today, was about the firing of the State Labor Board, and that was kind of a debacle. The State Labor Board was fired, and the governor
yes.
was... What happened?
Well, the Labor Board... It enforces public employees' legal right to join unions and bargain collectively. So Governor Martinez fired three of the members.
The three members.
Exactly. In other
words, that was the whole board.
So in doing this, she basically stopped the hearing of 43 workplace complaints, including 17 against the governor's staff members.
Good heavens.
So she took care of herself in that respect. Now, the New Mexico Federation of Labor, the AFL-CIO, and other unions sued the governor in New Mexico, and the Supreme Court...
New Mexico Supreme Court,
and wanting her to reinstate two of the fired board members. Finally, in April, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously against the governor, ordering her to reinstate the two board members.
So basically, I mean, this is a pattern that I think we're seeing, is that the governor or the governor's office is trying to have its way, and it always ends up in court, and pretty much she's losing.
She's basically ignoring the legislature. She's taking her role as sort of a lawmaker, and that is not her role. And she is not paying attention to the rules that are already in place that would benefit the people and not necessarily the companies that have contributed to her.
Now, you have a press conference today, Food and Water Watch. Tell us when and where.
We are going to be at 12:30 p.m. in front of the Roundhouse, and we are going to roll out this report, and we're going to have several speakers there. John Henry, who is the president of the New Mexico Federation of Labor, the AFL-CIO in New Mexico, and Sandy Buffett, who's the executive director of Conservation Voters New Mexico. And then we are going to, together, deliver a copy of this report to the governor's office. If you would like to read a copy, anyone can go on our website, foodandwaterwatch.org, and we'll send you an electronic copy.
Eleanor Bravo is New Mexico organizer for Food and Water Watch, and again, foodandwaterwatch.org.
That's right.
And you can find out what's happening also in other parts of the country. We had the executive director of Food and Water Watch here talking about hydraulic fracturing.
Fracking
a couple of months ago. And so you guys are doing great work all over the country. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org. Thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.